In Saudi Arabia, women can't check into a hotel without written permission of a man. They can't go to a public beach unless dressed in traditional black robes and head coverings. And until recently, newspaper editors did not print articles about women's rights for fear of losing their jobs. Last month, the first ever government forum dedicated to women's issues gave Saudi women the chance to air their grievances. NPR's Julie McCarthy traveled to Saudi Arabia and reports on the cautious campaign to expand women's rights.
This is a kingdom where women still cannot drive, and the banks have ladies' branches. So it is perhaps not surprising that at the forum initiated by Crown Prince Abdullah to discuss women, female participants were screened off from the male guests. They communicated via closed-circuit TV. Rada El-Houthi was a guest at the National Dialogue on Women, which stressed reform within the framework of Islam. But Al-Houthi, a Ph.D. in Islamic teachings, says it is Saudi customs, not Islam, that keeps women from realizing their full rights.
The conservative people here, they are not protecting Islam. They protect their ways of life.
Al-Houthi says the country's conservative orthodoxy objects to women working, or mixing with men, or receiving equal protection in the courts. Al-Houthi argues such deprivations are antithetical to Islam, which supports gender equality. She notes that even the Prophet Muhammad had a successful businesswoman for a wife.
I want the right to choose. I just want to feel that I am mature and I have the right to choose to cover or not to cover, to drive or not to drive. I don't want it to be something forbidden. No. And maybe if you give me the right, I'm not going to drive.
14 years ago, a group of Saudi women caused an uproar with a protest against the ban on women driving by taking to the road and getting arrested. Nowadays, some women say they surreptitiously make quick trips in the car, and when caught, their husbands pay a fine. A survey conducted last year by an independent research body called the Saudi National Security Assessment Project showed, to the surprise of the pollsters, that over 60% of the Saudis thought women should be allowed to drive, and over 90% wanted to grant women at least some additional rights. Abir Mishkas, a columnist with the Arab News, says Saudi men are getting fed up with women not being able to travel or conduct daily business without a male escort.
They just don't want it this way. They don't want their wives or daughters to just depend on them completely. I mean, my brothers are always like, you know, they would say, can't you go and do this on your own? I would say, yes, please, let me go and do it. But they don't have a say because this is a structure again.
A proponent of that structure, Fawz Kurdi, lectures on comparative religion at the Girls' College of Education. A conservative who veils her face, Kurdi also participated in the National Dialogue on Women and expresses suspicion about the motives of men who champion greater rights for women. I believe men's interest in having women drive is another attempt to enslave them, Kurdi says. Women will have to take full responsibility for transporting the men, who, she says, simply want to rid themselves of their responsibility. A strong advocate for the segregation of the sexes, Kurdi represented the majority opinion of the women invited to the women's conference. She says women's best chance for advancement lies not in less separation of the sexes, but more. She says women-only hospitals, for example, would relieve female doctors and staff from wearing the cumbersome hijab or head covering that she says Islam requires women to wear in the presence of men. If we want to establish equality for women, Kurdi says, then we need to establish a comfortable atmosphere for women. And providing female-only facilities where she is free not to wear the hijab, Kurdi says, gives her both comfort and privacy. Kurdi says modest clothing is worn in obedience to God, not submissiveness to men. But critics argue that enforced separation of men and women reveals a basic mistrust between the sexes. Journalist Abir Mishkas says that mistrust lies at the heart of Saudi society.
We don't trust each other around each other. It's about women being a source of sexual energy for men. Then you have to cover yourself and you have to keep away from men and you have, like, don't interact with them that much. Don't work with men. this is a lack of trust, and sometimes it becomes lack of respect as well.
In Saudi Arabia today, just as many females graduate from college as males, but make up only 5% of the workforce. Most of them work as teachers and can only instruct girls. It is considered improper for women to work alongside men. Columnist Mishka says, apart from fundamentalist forces, a deeply conservative culture is inhibiting reform.
See, I think the idea of change is really scary to lots of people. And even if it's for the better, they just don't want things to change. They see it as kind of imposed from the West. I think the Americans are imposing these changes, and therefore they just go on the defensive and they say, no, we don't want any change.
Even the most ardent defenders of women's rights say practices such as polygamy are consistent with their independence, even enabling greater freedom. Islam allows a man 4 wives. Rada El-Houthi became a second wife after being divorced and becoming a professor. She says polygamy has allowed her to live the life she wants.
For me, it's very good to have a man who has another wife. So I still have my privacy. I still have my time to be alone. But on the other hand, I have a man. He's my husband. Why not if there is a man who can take care of me?
Julie McCarthy, NPR News.